story from the Gospel of John. And it really goes along well with what we've just sung. There's a prayer request that's made here, really, in John chapter 11. And the answer is not what they had hoped for. But the answer ends up being better than what they'd hoped for. And I want us to look at this story tonight. Many times we look at familiar stories in the Bible, we forget that these are real people going through a real struggle. And they didn't have the benefit of being able to read about their story in a book and see how it ended in, 30 or 40 verses. They were living it. They were in the middle of it, just like we go through things and we don't know exactly how they're going to turn out. And so I want us to just examine this story for a little while tonight. We've been looking in the Gospel of John and seeing the fullness of Christ, and that His fullness is able to be received by all.
Right.
I sure am thankful for that. All men, but also all situations.
Amen.
And so any area of your life you find yourself in, Christ is the answer.
Yes, sir.
And so we'll look at John chapter 11, and I invite you to stand with me if you're able. We'll read the first few verses here, John chapter 11, and we'll get an idea of just the story here, and then we'll take our time the rest of the evening and work through this story. John chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." I want to ask us a question tonight as we look at this story. The question is a simple one, but I think an important one. What moves you? What moves you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your bounty that you've bestowed upon us today, Lord. The psalmist said it best. He said, "You daily load us with benefits." And Father, sometimes when we're in the midst of trouble or hardship, we forget about all the good things that you brought into our lives. And Lord, we want to take the time to thank you for those. God, we want to thank you for your wisdom. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving of this story for us so we can read about it. We can see how you worked in a family's life. Lord, they had a lot of questions. They had a lot of things going on in their lives and things that they didn't have answers to in the moment. But Lord, you were patient with them and you loved them and you did what was best for them. And God, I pray that tonight we would see that you're working the same way in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at this story and we consider this question, what moves us? Lord, I pray that you would guide us into truth. Help us, dear God, to get everything that you set before us, dear God. Help us to leave nothing on the plate in front of us. Help us to take it all in. And God, I pray that your Spirit would guide us into the truth. Exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, this story, as I said, it's well known to us who read the Bible and go to church. We hear this story. You probably heard this story as a child in Sunday school if you grew up in church. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, these siblings were precious to the Lord. We're told already in just the first five verses of this chapter, twice we're told that Jesus loved them. And we're going to be reminded of that again later on in the chapter. Everybody's going to look at this situation and they're going to say about Jesus, behold how he loved him, speaking of Lazarus. So the Lord loves this family. This is not just some people that he met that day. These are friends of his. These are loved ones. And the Bible says that Lazarus gets sick and they send messengers to Jesus to ask him to come and help Lazarus. Now, we know that Jesus can heal the sick. Is that right? He went about doing good. He went about healing the sick and restoring sight to the blind and making the lame walk. And his power is unquestioned. And that's why they send for him, because they know that Jesus can do what no one else can do. They're in an emergency. They're at a crisis time in their lives, and they send for Jesus. Now, put yourself in the position of Jesus for a moment. When you hear of loved ones who are hurting and maybe sick or needy in some way, the natural reaction is to drop everything that you're doing and to go to them.
Right.
Is that right? When someone's hurting, many times, even if we don't even have anything that we can do tangibly to help their situation, we still go to them because we want to be with them, because we love them, and we want to help in any way that we can.
Right.
Jesus is no different. Though we know that he is God manifest in the flesh, he is still 100% man. And so he has these people that are special to him, they're dear to him, and he hears that Lazarus is sick, and the natural reaction would be to go directly to their aid. And yet when Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, the messengers come to him, his response is this: this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, when we hear these words, we know how the story ends, and so it kind of makes a little bit more sense to us knowing how the story is. But if we were here in this moment, and Jesus is the great physician, is that right? If someone sent for the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, I don't think it's that bad, I'm just going to stay here. We've had that happen. We live in Canada. That happens a lot up there because they're so overworked they can't get to all their patients. That's what free health care gets you. Anyway, you know, we get frustrated. We get frustrated when someone doesn't take our emergency seriously. And here's Jesus. He could help Lazarus. He could heal Lazarus. He loves Lazarus. And yet when he hears that Lazarus is sick, he waits a couple days.
Yep.
He was not moved from the place where he was by news of Lazarus' sickness. Now this on the surface could appear calloused. Could it not? It could appear that maybe Jesus doesn't love Lazarus like he says he does. It might appear that way to us. That's why the Lord reminds us right at the beginning of the story, Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. Listen, when we're in trouble and when we have crisis and when we're hurting, we're tempted to doubt the love of God. Especially when he does not do what we want him to do in the time that we think he should do it. We're not careful, we'll question the love of God. Now, we're reminded twice already, Jesus loved them. And so Jesus is not sitting still because he does not love them. He's not sitting still because he cannot help them.
Right.
You say, why is he sitting still? Well, he has a plan. We know one thing for sure as we've looked at the Gospel of John, as we study the Gospel of John, that Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. And so he is not moving right now because it's not pleasing to the Father for him to move. The Bible says he abode 2 days, verse number 6, he abode 2 days still in the same place. You know what's hard to do when you've got a crisis on your hands? It's hard to be still. It's hard to be still. It's hard to just rest. How could Jesus rest at this time of crisis? Well, look back again in verse number 4. Jesus knew something. He said, "The sickness is not unto death." Now, let me ask you a question. Did Lazarus die? That's right, he did. Matter of fact, Jesus is going to be the one who informs the disciples, Lazarus is dead. Yep. Wait a minute, Jesus. I thought this sickness is not unto death. It's not unto death. What do you mean? Well, look at how he words this. He says, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." He's not saying Lazarus isn't going to die. That's not what he's saying when he says the sickness is not a death. What he's saying is the purpose of this sickness is not for Lazarus to die, but for God to be glorified. This is the purpose. Now, we don't understand that in our minds because in our minds, the bad things don't have a good purpose. That doesn't make sense to us that hurtful things could have a benefit to those who are going through the pain. But Jesus knows what we do not know. And Jesus sees what we do not see. And Jesus has a plan that's greater than ours. He's still. Now, in being still, he was resting in the fact that what Lazarus was going through and what his family was going through was for the glory of God. God was going to take that hardship and God was going to bring glory to his name through it. Now, only God can do that. Only God can do that. So Jesus rested. He was still because he understood the purpose that the Lord had in this sickness. While he was resting, while he was still, don't you realize that people would look at the situation, those who are aware of the situation, and they might come to a wrong conclusion about who Jesus is and about Jesus' love? You know, Jesus was willing to allow people to come to wrong conclusions about him to do the will of his Father. Listen. Listen. One of the big problems with Christianity today is we are too concerned about other people's opinions about us. And this is how we justify it. We justify it this way. Well, you know, I don't want to lose my testimony. I want to be able to minister to these people down the road. And so there has to be some sort of expectation that I have to meet of theirs in order for me to minister to them. Jesus did not let that concern him at all. It wasn't that he didn't want to minister to them, but he realized that his Father's will was the way to truly minister to those people. He did not lean, in this sense, he did not lean to his own understanding. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He entrusted his life, he entrusted his reputation, he entrusted his testimony to God. One of the things that has ruined many ministries and churches is when we start conducting our lives and we conduct our ministries based upon the opinions of others. Well, what's Brother So-and-so going to think? Well, I don't know. I'm not responsible for Brother So-and-so's mind. But what's Sister So-and-so going to say? I don't know. I don't control Sister So-and-so's tongue. Listen, we have to get to the point where we realize that we can't control people around us. You know what I find out? The older I get and the more I'm in the ministry, the more I understand I don't control anything. It's a wonderful feeling. It really is. Listen, when you just let go, the old saying, let go and let God be God. Well, what are they going to say? Who cares? What does God say? What does God think? What does God want to be done? You know, brother, if you go over there and preach for him, the brethren aren't going to like that. Well, that's the brethren's problem. That's not my problem. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Hey, I know where I'm at. This guy preached at a Catholic church. I'm okay. We cannot allow others' opinions to control our lives or to dictate our actions. It has to be what God wants.
Right.
And what God wants alone. It's not a vote.
Right.
No, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Who cares what anybody thinks, including yourself? Get on your knees, find out what God wants, and do the will of God.
Amen.
Trying to get to my message here. So Jesus abode still. He didn't let people's opinions, he didn't let the urgency of the situation, listen, he did not allow the urgency of the situation to dictate his movements. He stayed right where he was until God moved him. Then, verse 7, it says, after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. He abides 2 days. He decides, okay, it's time to go. On the way there, he tells the disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You know what you find in the Gospel of John over and over and over and over and over again? Jesus gives them a spiritual truth, and they hear physical. It's over and over, almost every chapter in the Gospel of John. Jesus is trying to give them a spiritual nugget, and all they're hearing is physical, outward. And they think that Jesus says, well, Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up. Which is what he says, but there's a deeper meaning, right? They say, oh, Lord, don't wake him up. I mean, sleep's good for a sick person. And so they don't even realize what they're saying. They're saying, Lord, don't raise him from the dead. They don't even realize what they're saying. And so, Jesus said to them plainly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Shock! You know, you bring it to him gently. No, he just said, Lazarus is dead. Now listen, as I was thinking about this today, the messengers came and told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And then they went back. Nobody came and told Jesus that Lazarus was dead. Is that right? He just knew he was dead. You know how he knew? He's watching. His eye was upon them. Even if he wasn't there bodily, his eye was upon them. He was watching them. Why? Because he loved them. Listen. Let's take a lesson from that. We say, well, I can't find God anywhere. Listen, even when you're not aware of his presence, his eye is upon you. He knows what's going on. Well, I'm just going to inform the Lord what's happening. The Lord already knows what's happening because He cares. And so they're walking along and He says, Lazarus is dead. And He says this. How about this? Verse 15. And I am glad. Wow. You want to talk about getting your words taken out of context? That could have really went bad. Lazarus is dead and I'm glad. Well, I thought you loved him, Lord. I do love him. I'm glad he's dead. What do you mean? He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now, if Jesus had been there, listen, we're going to hear this. Several people are going to say to Jesus later on, if you'd have been here, Lazarus would not have died. I tend to agree with them. And Jesus purposefully did not go there so that Lazarus would die. Well, that doesn't fit our idea of Jesus, the loving Savior. And yet He loves Lazarus more than Martha did, more than Mary did, more than their parents did. Jesus loved them. Jesus had a plan. Jesus had an idea in mind, what He wanted to accomplish. And He realized, listen, this is what Jesus realized. Lazarus' life, Lazarus continuing to live, is not more important than the glory of God. Listen, if we're going to live for God, if our lives are going to count for Christ, we are going to have to die to ourselves, and we're going to have to elevate the spiritual above the physical. Well, nothing more important than your health. Well, if you put spiritual in front of it, you've got it right. There's nothing more important than your spiritual health. But there's things more important than your physical health. Listen, Lazarus, he went through this and he was resurrected. Guess what? Lazarus had to die again. He had to go through it twice. You know why? Because even though he was brought back to this life is not the end.
Right, right.
This life is a journey. We're just passing through.
Amen.
Something much more important than just breathing the air on this earth. So what's more important? The glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Much more important. So Jesus was still. I read this somewhere, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it sounded good, so I'm going to tell you. When Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, right? The Bible says that. And according to what I read, there's a Jewish tradition that they believe that the soul rests in the body after a man dies for 3 days. And so they have this tradition, this idea, this belief that the soul is still there. Jesus waited till day 4 to resurrect Lazarus. If that was true, what they're saying about Jewish tradition, then it makes a whole lot of sense that Jesus waited until day 4. He didn't want there to be any confusion. He didn't want people to say, well, you know, he just kind of passed out. And then he woke up, you know, the third day. He wasn't really dead. No, Lazarus was good and dead. He was stinking dead. That's exactly right. They go to the tomb. Jesus said, roll the stone back. Martha said, whoa, 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 Lord. He's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. I like to tell people, what we, you know, we got all these kids. And we used to have a code when there was a full diaper. Lazarus alert. Lazarus alert. By now he stinketh. Somebody's got to change that diaper. And so Lazarus was dead. 4 days he'd been in the grave. Jesus had a plan. Why didn't Jesus leave as soon as the messengers got there? He had a plan. It didn't fit with Martha and Mary's plan, but it was God's plan.
Right.
And so it was the best plan. Now, so Jesus sits still. He does not move until God moves him. Now, let's shift our focus now from Jesus and let's look at Martha and Mary. Okay? Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, watch this, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. That's understandable, isn't it? Wouldn't you want to go talk to Jesus? But look at the end of the verse. But Mary sat, what's the next word? Still in the house. That's the same word that we read of in verse number 6. When Jesus hears about Lazarus' sickness and he abode 2 days still in the place where he was.
Right.
And we've come to understand that Jesus did not move initially because it was not time for him to move. That he was waiting for God to move him before he did anything. Now we shift forward, we move forward. Jesus is coming to Martha and Mary. And Martha, as soon as she hears that Jesus is coming, she is up and she is going to Jesus. Now it seems like a good thing. It certainly is a natural thing. But for some reason, Mary does not go. Now, when you see Martha get to Jesus in verse 21, it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It's understandable. Look down in verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Word for word. They've been talking about it. Like sisters do. I got 8 daughters. I didn't have any sisters. And then God gives me 8 daughters. What do you do with these? I don't know. You know, I found out what sisters do. They talk. They're secrets, but it's among the sisters. The fellowship of the sisters. They're talking. You know what Martha and Mary have been doing? They've been talking.
Right.
And they've come to the same conclusion. Listen, they've come to the same conclusion. If Jesus had been there, Lazarus had not died. And they say the exact same thing to Jesus when they meet him. They're saying the same thing because they're feeling the same thing. They're right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They're feeling the same thing. They're thinking the same thing. They're saying the same thing. But listen, they're not doing the same thing. So what do you mean? When they hear of Jesus coming, Martha runs to him. Mary sits still. And Martha has this conversation with Jesus that goes down through until verse number 28. During this conversation, Jesus tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. What a passage.
Right.
And I'd love to preach on that. We're not preaching on it tonight. He has this conversation. Then look down in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. I love the King James Bible. I like the word thee.
Amen.
Because the word thee is different than the word you. That's all the versions, the new versions, they change thee. They take all the thees and thines out and thou. Well, that's dumb. Because you're removing that singular. That TH is singular. The Y is plural. And so when Martha comes to Mary, she said, listen, the Master is come and calleth for thee. He's asking for you in particular, Mary. Now watch what happens in verse 29. As soon as she heard that, she arose what? Quickly. And came unto him. Mary is not hiding from Jesus. So when Jesus is first coming and they hear that he's coming and Martha jumps up and runs to go see Jesus and Mary stays back, it's not because Mary doesn't want to talk to Jesus. It's not because Mary's upset and doesn't want to talk to him, because as soon as she hears that Jesus is calling for her, she's up and running to Jesus.
Right.
Listen, we're asking the question tonight, what moves you?
Good.
What moves you?
Well,
Jesus was not moved by the situation. He was not moved by people's opinions. He was not moved by his own feelings on the matter. He was only moved by the voice of his Father. And now we look at Martha and Mary, and what a contrast we have. They're feeling the same thing. They're thinking the same thing. They're saying the same thing, but they're not doing the same thing. Martha moves when she feels moved to go. Mary sits still like Jesus sat still. And Mary only moves at the voice of Christ, just like God, Christ did not move until the Lord moved him.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, this is what happens. We get in trouble. We get in situations that are out of our control. And we feel like something has to be done, and we allow the situation to move us.
Right, right.
Instead of being still and knowing that he is God.
Amen.
And sitting still and waiting for the voice of God.
Right.
Mary sat still. The only thing that moved Mary was the voice of her master. Well, something's got to be done. This thing's getting out of hand. Preacher, you got to do something. Mom, you got to do something. Dad, you got to do something. Kids, we've got to do something, because everything's falling apart. Something has to be done. Be still.
Ma'am.
Wait for the voice of your master. And don't move until he calls.
Good.
They say, this doesn't seem like such a big deal. I mean, at the end of the day, Mary and Martha are together with Jesus. They're saying the same thing. Maybe it seems like to you, this is not that big of a difference, but as you look at the story and how it unfolds, you'll see there's a great difference. Look what it says here. In verse 30, it says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw who?
Mary.
That she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Well, listen, all these Jews had come from Jerusalem to comfort Martha and Mary. Is that right? Martha gets up, runs out of the house. They don't move. They stay right where they are. Nobody follows Martha. Mary sits still. Then when Jesus calls Mary, Mary's up and she's running to go to Jesus. And guess what? All the people follow Mary to Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear to show us that they followed her.
Right.
This is what they said. She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Mary meets Jesus and they converse. Jesus is Verse 33, it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Jesus wept, verse 35, 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? No, they're all saying the same thing. Why did Jesus let it go so far? Why did he let it go so long? Well, listen, Jesus was going to manifest the glory of God before them.
Right.
And now, listen, because Mary moved at the voice of her master, all these people follow her, they're going to see how much Jesus loved this family. Right. They're going to look at it, they're going to say, behold how he loved him.
Damn.
They saw the great love of God because of Mary's example that they followed. They were witnesses to his great love. They were witnesses later on. Jesus is going to pray. And you read about it here. He prays and he says this in verse 41. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what they got to witness? They got to witness Jesus praying to his Father. And this is what Jesus is saying. Lord, I know that you hear me always. But I want these people here to understand my connection with you, and that you hear my prayers, and that you've sent me to this earth. They are witnessing the very character of God and the reason why Christ came. They see the love of Christ. They see the link that Christ has with his Father. And then they see Christ's lordship over death.
Yeah.
They witness this resurrection when Jesus calls Lazarus forth. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus gets up out of that grave. And all of them standing there, they're amazed. Now listen, there's no miracle recorded in Scripture that affected the Jews and affected Jerusalem as much as this miracle. It's at the very center point of the Gospel of John, and this is really what when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rulers decide, we've got to do something about Jesus. Because we cannot deny what he has done. His glory has been manifested.
Yeah.
It's been made known because of what he's done here. Listen, do you think it would have had the same effect if he had got there before Lazarus had died? Are we willing to go through some pain and go through some questions and go through some times of maybe even doubt? Are we willing to go through that so that Christ can be manifested and his glory be known to the people? Are we willing? That's really the question.
Yep.
Mary didn't understand everything, but Mary understood, I'm going to move when the Lord calls me and not until then. Now watch what happens. We'll wrap it up here. Watch what happens. In verse 44, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to who?
Mary.
And had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Listen, the testimony of Mary, the willingness of Mary to just be still until God spoke to her, it led all of these people to Christ. Listen, I'm going to apply it to us right here. So what is the message about? It really comes down to this. Comes down to this. We all go through trouble, is that right?
Yeah.
Saved, lost, doesn't matter. We go through heartache. We go through times of questions. We go through times of pain. And everybody understands there are natural reactions to hardship. And heartbreak, and grief, and loss. There's natural reactions to that. And the vast majority of people are going to react very similar to those situations. But there are some who, through the supernatural power of God, will respond to crisis with stillness. And who will realize, listen, I don't know everything that's going on, and it hurts just as much as it hurts anybody else. I'm hurting just like anybody else hurts, but I understand that God is God.
Amen. Amen.
And I understand that He loves me. And I understand He's too wise to make a mistake. And I understand He has a purpose, and I understand His glory is a greater cause than anything that I could live for, anything else that I could live for. And so while everybody's just losing their minds over COVID or over the election or over grief and the loss of a loved one, listen, fill in the blank with whatever. While everybody's just going crazy over all those things, I'm just going to be still. You know, the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. You know, when you really have the knowledge, the full knowledge that God is God, is when you're still. You know what the rest of that verse says? Turn with me there. Look at Psalm 46. I said we're going to be done, but you've got to see this verse. Because you never see the rest of this verse. All you ever see on the calendar is the first part. Right? I've been threatening to make a calendar with all the verses that never make it there. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Put that on a calendar, amen? I've never seen that on a calendar. God hates the workers of iniquity. Put that on a calendar. It's in the Bible. Amen? Anyway, here's a verse that gets, the first part gets on the calendar, but the rest of it doesn't. It's a wonderful verse. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Look at this. I will be exalted among the heathen. How is Christ exalted among the heathen? As His people are still.
Amen.
And we direct the attention and the focus and the hope to God.
Amen.
I'm just going to take the bull by the horn. I'm going to fix this thing, bless God. I'm going to fix this thing. You're not going to fix anything. You're going to mess it up.
You're right, preacher.
How about just take your hands off and let God be God.
Amen.
And just be still.
Yes, sir.
And everybody, listen, you go through grief and heartache, and you're not acting the way everybody else is acting, everybody's going to be watching you.
Right,
just like they did Mary. When Martha went running out of the house, they said, hey, but something about Mary's stillness caught the attention and caught the focus of all those people. They said, Mary's got something here. I don't understand it. They didn't understand it, but they saw a difference in Mary that they didn't see in Martha or anybody else that they'd come across in grief. I want to be a testimony. I want to be a witness for the Lord. This is one of the greatest ways you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're going through hardship, you don't respond like everybody else responds. Be still. He'll be exalted among the heathen. He'll be exalted in the earth. Listen, our God can do things in and through us that we can never do in and through ourselves. Be still. What about when He says no? Just be still. What about when there's grief in you? Just be still. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, help us now. Lord, this really goes against our feelings. It goes against our wisdom. It goes against every fiber of our being to be still in a crisis. But God, it's in that stillness that we see that You are God. It's in that stillness that You're exalted. It's in that stillness that others will see the reality of You, Your power, Your love. It's in that stillness that they'll be drawn to Christ. God, help us. We can't do it in ourselves. It's just not in us. But Lord, You've given us Your Holy Spirit. Help us to be filled with that precious Holy Spirit in our times of grief, to be still. Lord, I don't know what folks are going through. I know everybody's going through something. God, I pray that their hearts would be filled with faith, that they'd understand that You're in control, and that You have a perfect plan. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Faith, believing, and rejoice when answers come. We are thankful when He hears our cry and we see the works He does. But sometimes we pray for just one thing that we've made our heart's desire. And when we do not get the yes we want, we forget His ways are higher. The times that You said no, all the doors that You have closed, when I prayed for something that You knew would never help me grow. Thanks for loving me enough to protect me from myself. And when my ways had strayed from Yours, You showed Your perfect plan instead. Lord, I'm thankful for the answered prayers You know. Oh, but thanks for every time that You said no.
As I look back on this life I've lived, I see things that wouldn't be. I think of all the blessings I'd not have had You not protected me. Yes. And though sometimes Your answer broke my heart and I felt the deepest pain, I didn't know back then what I know now. Everything was for my gain. Amen. Amen. So thank You for the times that You've said no, all the doors that You have closed, when I prayed for something that You knew would never help me grow. Thanks for loving me enough to protect me from myself.
And when my ways had strayed from Yours, You showed Your perfect plan instead.
Lord, I'm thankful for the answered prayers You know. Oh, but thanks for every time that You've said no. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? For I know whatever befalls,
Jesus, doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus, doeth all things well. You said no. Thanks for every time
that you said no.
Church, we're getting some help from the Lord. I pray that you are. Amen. Don't rebel against it. God's trying to do something for us and help us this week, and I'm thankful for it. We prayed for it and asked for it. He's talking about being still, and I thought about this verse, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Mary, why are you sitting there? Your brother just died. Why aren't you running up and running around? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's nothing in the world like the peace of knowing that God is in control. And we don't always understand it. We don't have to understand it. We just trust Him. Wonderful job, Brother Mark. Thank you so much tonight. What a help it's been. Real quickly, you be seated. We're going to take up an offer for Brother Mark and his family. We'll be taking one up tonight, probably tomorrow and Sunday. Give you an opportunity to be a blessing and to get a blessing. So, Brother Carl, would you come help Brother Bowen here? An offer. His family is a tremendous blessing, and we're thankful they're able to be here with us this week. They traveled a long way to come in, and they got to travel more when they leave here, so try to be a blessing to them. And we'll take up another one tomorrow night, Lord willing, if you're not able to tonight, so be thinking about that. Brother Carl, will you pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering? Yes. Yes, thank you, Father. Yes, Father, thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30. Invite somebody to come be a part of the service tomorrow. Everybody try to bring somebody to church tomorrow night. Invite somebody to come. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you.